You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Here we go. Well, Father, thank you for this word of the month. Thank you for March 2025. And thank you, wow, that you are here and you are ready to go. We just take a deep breath right here in this place, right here before we start. And we just connect, Father. We just connect to our union with you. We connect to the reality that we are interdimensional. We connect to the truth that we are seated in heavenly places right this very minute. At the same time, we are seated in the natural realm. And I thank you, Father, that this is a place of divine authority. This is a place of, my goodness, peace and rest. And it is a place where all things are finished. And I thank you, Father, that this is where we rule and reign. And I just release right now, Father, the word that you have for this month with clarity, with precision. And I thank you that it will be unhindered by any outside force, Lord. I just pray right now that every single person has ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and that our hearts are in a position to receive. I declare that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened and we know the hope of our calling. And so we just enter into this time together today, Father, and we expect you to correct our vision, to get us into alignment with what you are doing and what you are speaking. And I just thank you, Father, that we are vessels that you inhabit fully. We are the branch and you are the vine, and there is much fruit coming through our life because we are established in our union with you, and the illusion of separation has completely been dismantled and dissolved in our lives. And so I bless this broadcast. I bless every single person that will be watching and hearing it, Father. I thank you that this is going to get to every single person that needs to hear it. And we just give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys, can you believe it? It's already March of 2025. I feel like this year is just zipping by. You know, February was a little bit of a crazy month for me. I mean, if you saw the broadcast, I don't know what was, maybe last week, right? You saw that I had that crazy fall on my face. And then it was like this incredible healing that happened. We just had, you know, some challenges over here in March. But I thank you, Jesus, that we had the victory too. And so I don't know how the year's going for you yet. So far, but you know, you might have already had a storm or two that's risen up as you're crossing to the other side. I know that I have personally, and I wouldn't be surprised if you've had some storms rising up, and I wouldn't be surprised if you've got some storms that you are in the middle of right here in March. But I kind of want us to go back a little bit. I probably will be doing this every single month this year because, you know, the thing about the prophetic words that I give is that prophetic words don't expire, right? And I approach prophecy like we are in a continuing conversation with God, and we are in a continuing unveiling of revelation around what God is doing in the earth and what God is doing in our lives in this hour. And I can just tell you that it's not a new thing, even though God says, you know, expect a new thing. Well, the new thing was Jesus. The new thing was the new covenant. The new thing is that there's a new creation. And now every prophetic word is going to be about the full manifestation of your sonship and the full manifestation of your union with Jesus and the full manifestation of you stepping into a place of co-creation and manifestation of the new creation. And so we are in a prophetic conversation with God. And, you know, it was interesting because I really felt like it started back in December, if you'll remember, where it was all about listening, right? Are you listening? Really listening? And if you were like me and you heard that word, you probably came to the conclusion that I did, that maybe I wasn't listening as good as I should be. You know, I actually went back to a bunch of prophetic words all the way back to 2010, 11, 9. I don't even know how far I went back. And it was crazy how I noticed, you know, that, gosh, number one, I was leading the conversation more than maybe I was listening. Number two, I felt like when I was listening, the lens that I was interpreting the things that God said is such a different lens than what I have now. Praise God. Thank you for transformation and transfiguration. Thank God that I'm not in the same place that I was in 2009, 2010, 2011. I mean, even just theologically, right? I mean, so much growth has happened. I just believe in the body of Christ. I believe in us since those that, you know, over the years. And so it was a real powerful word just to, for me personally, and I believe for a lot of you, just to really fine tune our listening. And then, you know, we came into the new year and it made sense why we need to really, really be listening, because the things that God was speaking were in fact mind blowing. And that really was the word for 2025, that God wants to blow our minds. Specifically, this is what he said. He says, the way that I want to manifest myself through you as you is mind blowing. And so it made sense that, you know, there was going to be this massive outpouring of revelation that was going to blow our carnal minds, right? It was going to blow the illusion of separation. It was going to blow through the lower levels of consciousness that we may be stuck in that is keeping us in by me or to me, right? In victimhood or in self-reliance or performance of some way. Because God is moving us into the place where we are it fully embodying Yahweh, where we are in the position where we truly have become the body of Christ. Like, obviously we are the body of Christ, but the question is, does God have our body? Is God really the one that is driving the ship, right? Or is it our nervous system? Is it our emotions? Is it our circumstances, right? What is moving us? Is it God? I mean, or is it the external realm or something that's going on in our internal world? And so that was a really, really powerful word. And, you know, we've just continued into February and then now in March. This is just really going to be more about unpacking the move of God in our lives so that we are elevating into a way of being where Christ is actually expressing himself through us as us, right? This is moving out of victimhood. This is moving out of by me consciousness, and it's moving into a place where we truly are operating as one with the Father. I mean, this is how Jesus operated. You know, I just did my Elevate training for March. And I always say this, if you guys are not in Elevate, you need to be in there. I'll tell you what, it just unpacks the prophetic words that God is speaking even more and just brings it down to a practical level and just gives you a focus so that you can really take the move of God and what he's doing in your life and walk it out so that it's manifesting in your life. And so I just wrapped that up yesterday, and it's called Staying on God's Agenda, which is really, really important, right? It's based on the scripture from John 5:30, which I teach out of a lot, but it's really about how Jesus operated in as me and how he truly was fully expressing the Father at all times in his life, and that he was fully committed to pursuing God's agenda. And in John 5:30, the Voice translation, you know, it says, I have not ever once, nor will I in the future act on my own, right? He said, I listen to the divine instructions of the one who sent me, and I act on these divine instructions. He said, my judgment is fair. It's never self-serving, because I'm committed to pursuing God's agenda and not my own. And so that really is a beautiful and powerful insight into what functioning like a son of God looks like. You know, Jesus was in the, you know, he was constantly, the Father was constantly moving through Jesus as Jesus. And this is our destiny. This is our birthright. This is how sons of God function. And so this is about, you know, anything else that is moving us besides God and every other agenda that is influencing us, but God, not being the thing that's driving us, not being the thing that is leading us, not being the thing that is causing us to act or move. This is about being unmovable. This is about being unshakable. This is about being spirit-led 24/7, all of the time, regardless of what you are walking through. And so the word for March is a really, really powerful word. The word, I'm going to go ahead and give it right up here up front, is the word governance, okay? Governance is the word for March. And it is all about the government of God. It is all about what's governing us. It is all about stepping into our role as sons of God who move in sync with the Holy Spirit, fully spirit led, on the Father's agenda all the time and being free from any other external influence, right? It's about governing the new creation. It is about governing ourselves. It's about governing our emotions, governing our body, right? Allowing our spirit to be the one that is driving the ship rather than our emotions, rather than our body. Why? Because self-governance is the key to creation governance. And if we can govern ourselves, you guys, we are governing death. We are governing the very effects of the curse, obviously, personally, but then we extend that governance into creation. And so it's a really, really, really powerful word. And it is what God is doing right now in your life, right? He is bringing you into a place where nothing is governing you except the government of God, right? The Prince of Peace, who is the King of Kings, is the one that is governing you, governing your life, and you are moving in tune with Jesus, right? You are his body, and the body of Christ is not out of control, right? No, there is a head, Jesus Christ, and we are moving in sync with our head, with Jesus. And so this means that we are fully submitted. It also means that we are offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, so I'm going to go back to that scripture that we kicked off the year with, and I'm going to chat with you. I'm just going to continue to unpack this word. So let's go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 in the Mirror Translation. This goes right along with the way that I want to manifest myself through you as you is mind-blowing. Okay, in verse 1, it says this, live consistent with who you really are, inspired by the loving kindness of God. It says, my brothers, the most practical expression of worship is to make your bodies available to him as a living sacrifice. It says, this pleases him more than any religious routine. And here's the key part here. It says, he desires to find visible individual expression in your person, right? Jesus wants to be you. He wants your I to be his I am, right? As Jesus is, so are you in this world. And so this is all about the personal pronoun I. It's about you not having an I that is apart from Christ, right? That I that was apart from Christ was crucified. That's why the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20 said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. And I would say Christ as me, right? So there's all these I's in Galatians 2:20. Right? The I that was crucified, the I that lives, and the I not being the real Paul that was crucified. And so this is about our personal pronoun becoming Jesus. This is about us not relating to ourselves or having an identity that is a false identity that has been programmed by the patterns of this world and tries to govern our minds and tries to govern our bodies and tries to govern our emotions. You know, we've talked about how the human body is the most powerful technology that has ever been designed and created, right? It is the material representation or authority for our spirit and God's spirit to occupy this planet in material form, right? That's why Jesus is the incarnation of God, right? He had a physical body because the physical body was necessary to redeem the physical body. And we have been redeemed, you guys, that we have a redeemed physical body that is occupied by Jesus Christ. You know, and I talk a lot about Philippians chapter 3 when the Apostle Paul said, you know, that his determined purpose was to know him, right? And the power of his resurrection. You know, Paul had a revelation of what the resurrection meant for creation, what the resurrection meant for mankind. You know, we were raised to a new life in Christ. We were raised perfect, holy, innocent, blameless in him. And we were raised with him as him. There's this co-identification that happened at Calvary in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, and in his ascension. And so this illusion of separation, this illusion of a separate I is being swallowed up and being completely eradicated from our lives in 2025. And this illusion runs deep, you guys. It runs deep in our conscience, in our subconscious minds. It runs deep in our little neural pathways. It runs deep in our cellular memory. And very many times we're driven by the flesh. We we are driven by the illusion of separation because of the programming that we've been subjected to, because the entire world is lying in darkness and under the illusion of this separation. And so March is about governance. March is about coming out of the governance of the old man. It's about coming out of the governance of the old programming, about coming out of the governance of our unrenewed minds and these unrenewed cellular memories and this nervous system that, you know, goes into fight and flight and tries to rule us based on the five physical senses rather than the Spirit of God and our spiritual senses. It's about walking by faith and not by sight. It's about embodying the truth of the gospel, not just knowing it, but letting it govern you down to a cellular level, letting it govern you down to a molecular level, down to a quantum level, so that we are fully embodying the truth of the new creation. So let's talk a little bit about what it means, why the word is governance. And I wrote this down, which is a really, really crazy revelation and a really powerful thought. Okay, it says you will either govern or you will be governed. Okay, no one can serve two masters. Okay, you will be governed or you will govern. Okay, there's only two options here. Either we will govern our bodies and we will govern our emotions, or we will govern our internal world, or we will be governed by it. We will be governed by our physical senses, or we will govern our physical senses, right? So this is about just coming into this place of alignment so that we are not being controlled and we are not being moved by anything other than the Holy Spirit, so that there is a maturity into sonship so that we can actually partner with God for the co-creation of the new creation, which is already completed in the Spirit, which Jesus has already reconciled to himself. God was in Christ reconciling the cosmos to himself. So we live in a reconciled cosmos. However, that reconciliation has not been made fully manifest and fully physical yet. And God wants it to manifest in us and through us. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to govern. And I just looked up the, you know, Googled it, looked up the little definition here. And it says this: to conduct the policy, actions, and affairs of a state, organization, or people, right? So this is about conducting the policy and actions and affairs of the kingdom of God, right? Your citizenship is in heaven. You are a joint heir with Jesus of heaven, of the kingdom. And as a governor of the earth, right? You are here with a mandate, right? For God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is why John 5:30 is such a powerful word and such a powerful scripture, right? Because that's how Jesus was living. He was saying his will was subjected to the will of the Father. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing. And this was the, you know, incarnation of God himself. But yet Jesus lived in full alignment and in full submission in his body, in his will and his emotions and his imagination and his humanity. He felt he was fully submitted to God. You know, Jesus wasn't walking around identifying with his human identity, right? Even though he was the son of Mary, all right, he wasn't the son of Joseph, but, you know, those were his natural parents. You know, he didn't go around saying, I'm the son of Mary and Joseph. I'm the son of, no. He did not identify with his earthly lineage beyond, you know, what it was prophesied where he would be from. The reality was, is that he identified with his heavenly identity. He identified with his true origin, which was God, right? And that is the truth about us as well. We are not just natural human beings with a natural lineage. No, we have a spiritual lineage. We are the true offspring of Abraham. We are the sons of God. We are the children of God. And we have been born not by human will, but by the will of God. God willed us into his being. God willed us into his kingdom as sons, as heirs. And now it's about stepping into the fullness of that governance of who you really are, and stepping into the fullness of your true identity, and allowing your true identity to override anything and everything that has not been reconciled, or, you know, feels like or thinks it hasn't been reconciled with Jesus. So this is about complete governance over the fallen programs and the self-construct that is not even I. It's not even us anymore, right? A second little definition of governance says to control, influence, or regulate a person, action, or a course of events, all right? So in the beginning, in Genesis, right? This is when the original governance mandate entered the earth. And the governance mandate has not changed, right? When God blessed Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, have dominion, right? Subdue the earth. Have dominion. You know, I talk about it being the dominion mandate, but it's the governance mandate, right? It's this idea that you are to govern the earth, not let the earth and the material realm and the natural realm or anything that is lesser under your authority, let it to govern you. And what I said earlier is very true. Either you will be governed or you will govern, and you will either be led by the flesh or you will be led by the spirit. You will be led by your carnal mind or you will be led by the mind of Christ. And so this is really, really key here. This is about stepping into the governance of ourself and stepping into the governance of the new creation. Let me go into another definition here. It says to conduct oneself, especially with regard to controlling one's emotions. Oh my goodness. It says this is an actual definition of the word govern that Google spit out to me, right? It's saying here that this is about governing oneself. This is about operating in the fruit of self-control. And I just want to say true self-control. This is about what self is actually showing up. Is it the old man in governing mode, or is it the true self that is in governing mode? And the true self has the ability, you guys, to control one's emotions. We know this from James, right? In James, it says, you know, not many of you should be teachers, that we all offend, you know, in many ways. Let me just go over there so I don't butcher it, do my own little paraphrase here. But let's go over to James chapter, where is it? James chapter 3, I think. Yeah, it says, I'll just read it. This is in the Passion Translation. This is what came up. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church. I can say amen to that. Since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. We all fall in many areas, but especially with our words. It says, yet if we are able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means that our character is mature and fully developed. I mean, so this is what it's saying, that if we bridle our words, we can govern in ourselves. We will become powerful. Why? Because words govern. Words govern. And here James is saying words control us, control our body. In the King James Version, I think that's when it says that. Let me just go over there. It says this. Yeah, it says this in verse 2. It says in the New King James Version, it says, for we all stumble in many things, but if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So one part of governance is governing this technology, right? It is being able to not be led by a spirit of fear. And the spirit of fear is the opposing governing force of the spirit of love, of the spirit of faith. And you know this, that our bodies have been programmed for survival. Our bodies have been programmed for fight or flight, freeze or fawn. We have been programmed to survive. And that has come from the fall, but it is not your inheritance. It is not your portion. And the truth of the matter is that words are powerful. And you know, when the tempter came and when Jesus was in the wilderness, there was only two things that were in operation here, right? It was, does Jesus know who he really is? And I just want to say this today, and I was talking about this with some of my students yesterday. We were talking about that not only will you be governed or you will govern, right? But circumstances reveal what the governing force is in our lives, right? Circumstances are also not designed to govern us. We are designed to govern them, right? So it's not just about governing our physical bodies and governing our emotions and governing our nervous system and staying in that place of shalom, but it is absolutely about not allowing the circumstances or the tempter to come and cause us to doubt who we are. I said this yesterday and I'll say it again here today, but every circumstance is a temptation to cause you to question two things. Is God who God says he really is? Is God really who God says he is? And are you who God says you are? All right, that's the exact thing that happened in the garden. It is the temptation to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it is still the temptation that every circumstance and every, you know, trigger and every, you know, fight or flight response that we enter into, it is absolutely a temptation to be governed by a spirit of fear, to be governed by a spirit of lack, to basically believe a lie that God is withholding something from us, that God is not who he says he is, and we are not already perfect, that we are not already in Christ. So that it's always a temptation. Do you know who you really are? And when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, basically prove it, right? If you are the Son of God, it was just over and over again, if. And that voice of doubt is the same voice that was in the garden, and it is the same voice that will bombard us to cause us to question what God has spoken, to cause us to question the gospel, to cause us to question God's nature and his character. And it will cause us to question the gospel. It will cause us to question, are we really new creations? And it will cause us to identify with an I that has been crucified. And it is a temptation. So this governance is also about stepping into circumstances, fully governing yourself and fully governing the external world. Now, this is the inheritance of the sons of God. Okay, the last definition of govern that I wrote down here was that the word govern means to, it says serve to decide, as in a legal case, right? So there is a aspect of governance that makes a decision, that makes a decree. And that just reminds me immediately of the scriptures that say, whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, I've talked to multiple people in the last, you know, month or so that are dealing with different kinds of court cases. I've seen one person already have that totally released and the charges dismissed. I have another one that's still standing for that I know about right now. But whether you are in the middle of a legal case of some kind, I know people are going through divorces, people are going through all kinds of things right now, you have to govern that situation. Number one, the decision has already been released in heaven. First of all, the biggest decision is that you're not guilty. Okay? You are innocent. You are innocent. You are innocent. Why? Through your association with Jesus Christ. So you will have to legally bind any accusation against your righteousness, against your position in Christ. Anything that would try to make you and tell you that you are guilty as charged, right? That is an accusation from the enemy. And it is absolutely, when you say, nope, case has been dismissed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, right? Jesus was made to be sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a new creation. No. I am innocent. I am blameless. I am accepted. I am accepted in the beloved, right? As Jesus is, so am I in this world. Not because of my performance, not because of my adherence to the law or legal requirements, but because of the finished work of Jesus. So there is a legal aspect to this. You know, whatever we bind, whatever we declare improper or illegal, it says in the Amplified Classic Version, is what must be already improper and illegal in heaven. So let me just go over there so we can look at this scripture because I'm talking about it. Let's go on to, I like to go to it in the Amplified Amplified Classic Version. Let's just go there. Whatever you bind on earth, we're going to go to Matthew 18:18 in the Amplified Classic Version, Matthew 18:18. And here's, I'm in the wrong version. Let me go back. Okay, here's what it says. And I was already quoting it, but I'm going to go back and actually read it now. It says this. Whoa, it says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and unlawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So basically what it's saying is God's will, if it's going to be done on earth, right, then it's going to be enforced through us, right? We have the authority. We are the body of Christ. And what is illegal? What is illegal in heaven, right? Well, sickness, disease, lack, strife, anything that's not like God, anything that's not the fruit of the Spirit, anything that's not like Jesus is illegal in heaven. And we are the governors of that legality for it to be able to exist on earth, right? We can be passive. We can tolerate things that Jesus never tolerated. Every place that he went, he was dealing with lack. He was dealing with sickness. He was releasing the kingdom of heaven. He was releasing the government of God. And he was on God's agenda to do it. And he did it time and time again. And he said the same things that he did, the same works that he did, we would do also, and even greater works. And so this is about coming into a level of governance that extends beyond just your personal being, right? We're talking about displacing systems. We're talking about governing cities and neighborhoods and states and countries, right? We are talking about the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of Jesus. Why? Because we are the ones that are governing in him as him, right? There's this governance that is going to be released through us as Jesus governs us and governs through us. So powerful definitions about what it means about governance. And so this month we are stepping into number one, governing ourselves. Number two, governing circumstances. We are not going to be governed, but we are going to govern. And I'm telling you, there are going to be things, and I'm not prophesying this. I'm not trying to throw some destruction out there. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying that there is everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And there are circumstances that are going to be coming up in our lives here that are not because we're doing something wrong, right? I mean, when Jesus told his disciples, hey, cross to the other side, a storm rose up, right? But the way that Jesus governed that storm was completely different than the storm governing the disciples, right? The disciples were governed by fear. They were governed by the external circumstances, and they were controlled and seized with fear. But Jesus was controlled and seized by shalom. He was peaceful. He was in the boat, right? And, you know, I was looking at a definition of shalom from a book from Ken Arrington this week. It was on peace, right? And I love his definition. So I went and looked it up again. But let me give you the definition of the Hebrew word shalom. I mean, we might have heard nothing missing, nothing broken. For sure, it's wholeness. But let me give you, this is what the actual Hebrew symbols represent and how they are best interpreted. Listen to this. Shalom is to destroy the authority attached to chaos. Isn't that powerful? Shalom is to destroy the authority attached to chaos. And so when Jesus was asleep in that boat, he was sleeping in peace. Why? Because he was walking in the governance of God, and he had the authority. Yet he had the authority that destroys the authority attached to chaos. And that's why he could stand up and say shalom, and even the waves and the winds obeyed him, right? And, you know, of course, the disciples were just thrown, you know, like, what in the world? Who is this man that even the wind and the seas obey him? But you know what? He was the Son of God. He was a Son of God. And you know what he turned around and did? He rebuked his disciples. And he said, where's your faith? Where's your faith? In other words, you can rebuke storms too. You can do the same things that I do. In fact, I commissioned you here in a couple chapters where you're going to go raise the dead, cast out devils. You're going to be performing miracles in my name, right? My name still storms. My name brings sickness to its knees. My name multiplies provision. My name causes a fig tree to shrivel at the roots, right? You have authority over lack. You have authority over sickness. You have authority over your body. You have authority over weather systems. We have authority. We have the legal right to govern in the name of Jesus, as Jesus, in total submission to the Father's will, staying on his agenda and doing what God is doing. But God is doing the doing through us, right? It is the Father that is doing the work. It is the Father that stilled that storm. It was the shalom of God. It was the government of God. It was the manifestation of the kingdom. All right. It looks like I am back live. Can you just hop back on and let me know that you're here and I will continue. I blew the circuits, you guys. Governing at such a level, the circuits got blown. So my goodness, my tech team will have to piece this together for the podcast. But I just wanted to wrap up. I hope I can even remember where I was, because that was a really interesting, technical glitch. But, we were on, I know that I was on Matthew 18:18. So let me just wrap that up. It says, truly, I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and unlawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So we are talking about governing, and we're talking about governing through shalom, right? And we are talking about how Jesus was crossing over to the other side and governing completely from a place of peace. And so how many of you know that shalom, when said to destroy to authority, to destroy the authority attached to chaos, right? So shalom destroys the authority attached to chaos. Not only did it still the storm, but guess what? It will, a physical storm, right? A weather storm, but it will still the storm within you. It will still the storm in your circumstances, and it will keep you in a place where you can govern, right? And so when I talk about, being self-governed, I'm talking about, allowing the government of God and the shalom of God to destroy, right, the authority attached to chaos in our lives, in our own internal world and in the external world. So I wanted to go into a scripture that really is powerful around this. And it just talks about it. I mean, we know the scripture, but let me pull it up. It's over in Philippians. And it's in Philippians 4, I'm pretty sure. Let me just go over there and let me go in the Passion Translation. Got a little bit flustered by this tech issue, and now I got to get back in my flow. But in Philippians 4, here's what it says. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to go in the Passion Translation, but this is talking about fear, and I'm talking about shalom. It says this. In the Passion Translation, it says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. It says, then God's wonderful peace, right, that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus, right? This is literally saying, fear not. Right. And as we, it says, just keep, stay in prayer and offering your faithful requests to God, right, with gratitude. And that peace of God will guard your heart and mind. You know, one of the things that we were talking about in the Elevate teaching that I did yesterday was about, how Jesus didn't, I mean, it's not that he didn't have emotions, right? It's not that he didn't come, he cried, he wept at Lazarus's tomb. In the Garden of Gethsemane, there was so much internal turmoil, pressure and turmoil internally, right? The stress of that situation was so great that he was sweating drops of blood. But you know what the key was for Jesus? And I believe the key is for us as well, is Romans 12:1, surrendering our will, surrendering our bodies, offering ourselves as living sacrifices. And it's the pattern of Jesus. You know, in Luke, it talks about this in Luke 22, in verse, let's go down here. It's like 41. Okay. He says this. He says, he distanced himself from them. And this is in the garden. I'm in the Voice Translation right now. It says, he distanced himself from them about a stone's throw and knelt there praying. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. And then it said, then a messenger from heaven appeared to strengthen him. Okay, talk about supernatural grace. Talk about the peace and the shalom of God coming to guard Jesus's heart and mind, because we know what happened. He stood up and he went ahead and went on to the Calvary. But, it's not that there isn't a storm that he dealt with internally, right? It wasn't that it says he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. So, this is another pattern, another example, right, of self-governance. Jesus said, I didn't do anything on my own. He said, I have not acted, and nor will I in the future act on my own. I mean, he was prophesying over himself, right? Because here in the garden, he said, listen, Papa, listen here, Abba, if there's another way to complete the redemption of the human race, Okay, let's do that. Okay, like if there's any other way through this or out of this, well, give it to me now. I'd like to have another way out of this. But you know what he did in that moment? Whoa, he said, nevertheless, that's such a powerful word, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And so he surrendered his will in prayer, you guys. These are, I'll tell you, some of the most powerful prayers I have ever prayed. I've just been the hands up surrender and saying, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price, paid for with a preciousness, Lord. Your will be done. You get me in alignment. I'm surrendering right now. And you know, and when we're having in anxiety and we're in fear, right? That process of prayer with God is just, you know, going in and asking. Like Jesus was straight up with the Father. Like, if there's another way, man, let's do it. This is my will is not to go. I don't want to be crucified. But, you know, my independent will is this level of suffering. Whoa, you know, this level of suffering. I don't know if I'm up for it. Right. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we don't get all of that. He just says, if there's another way, if there's, you know, if you're willing, take this cup, you know, take this cup from me. But not my will, your will be done. I mean, that is such a powerful example of self-governance in the most extreme of circumstances. And you guys, we know all throughout history, I mean, people have been martyred, missionaries have been killed. And I mean, how? I mean, do you ever stop and think like, oh my gosh, I could never do that? Well, it's because it wasn't them, right? There was a grace, there was a power, there was a peace, a shalom that was guarding their hearts and guarding their minds. And it destroyed the authority that was attached to chaos, first of all, in their own inner world, so that they were able to obey and able to submit to the will of God. You know, so Jesus stayed on God's agenda regardless of the personal cost. Jesus stayed on God's agenda regardless of what other people thought about it. He was not governed by the opinions of men. He was not governed by fear. He was not governed by his own emotions, his own will, or his human identity. And he was not moved by anyone but the Holy Spirit. And so, beloved, in March, this is about governance. This is about being led by nothing but the Holy Spirit. This is about not moving apart from the Holy Spirit. If he says jump, you say how high. If he says lie down, you say, okay, I'm gonna take a little nap. If he says do nothing, well then guess what? The fruit of patience is being developed in your life. If he says move forward, then you move forward, right? We sing these songs, you know, about, you know, I surrender all, right? Or, you know, he moves, I moves. I can't remember, you know, all these songs that we sing in church, but we sing about it. But now it's time to manifest it. Now it's time to embody it. And I'm telling you, the grace of God is here. This is not something that we do independent from God. This is something that we do by simply offering ourselves to God, right? This is God's work to do, but it's also God's work to do through. And it's God's work to do as. It's God's work to do through us. And it's God's work to do as us. And so, beloved, just buckle up for March. It's not, again, this is a powerful word. We're talking about freedom from external control. We're talking about freedom from being a slave to our own, you know, false identity and our separated self. We're talking about freedom from being controlled by emotions and controlled by our physiology, being controlled by sin, being controlled by death, right? This is a powerful level of governance. And I can get it emotionally, right? This, you know, triggers and fear and all those things don't feel good. But I believe with all of my heart that the storms are there to reveal us, not to kill us. And we, as we step into this word this month and the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are going to be operating in a level of dominion and a level of governance that we have never operated in before. There are going to be all kinds of breakthroughs and miracles that happen as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, beloved, here we are. It's March, and the word for this month is governance. And I can't wait to hear and see how this manifests in our lives in a greater degree of freedom and a greater degree of shalom, you guys. This is about managing and governing through shalom. This is about a peace that surpasses understanding. This is about the ability to destroy the authority attached to chaos and stay steady, stay stable. Whoa. And govern in the midst of anything that we walk through. And so you are more powerful than you've imagined, because the most powerful person is inside of you. You live and move and have your being inside of God. So this is not about getting something that you don't have. This is about exercising what is already true about you. So God bless you. We'll figure out how to piece all this together for the podcast episode, but thanks for sticking with me. Thanks for retuning in. And I can't wait to hear all the things that God does through this word this month. And as always, if you're not an Elevate, man, you just don't want to miss out. It's going to be a powerful month of practical teaching out of John 5:30. We actually break down the five aspects of God's agenda. We talk about God's will, God's way, God's why, God's when, and God's work. Very, very powerful teaching with powerful activations and meditations. We'll be coaching around that, of course, and Elevate. So I really encourage you. We'll be probably sending out some stuff more about that via email, but I really encourage you to step into Elevate this month. And if you're still in a place where you don't have confidence hearing God, we'll step into the Hearing God on Demand course, right? Because it's really tough to govern anything if we can't hear God. So why? Because obviously, that's the one that's leading us. That's the one that's governing through us and as us. So hearing God is not optional. Can you imagine Jesus trying to be Jesus and be one with the Father without being able to access the mind and the thoughts and the heart and the will of God? Like, no, it doesn't happen. So being able to hear God is the key. It's the very first level of governance, right? Because how can we do God's will if we don't know it? And it's not just a scriptural interpretation of God's will, right? Taking a scripture and applying it to the situation. No, it's more nuanced than that. It's more nuanced on that. And we see that over and over in Jesus's life. So step in, let me support you however I can. And hopefully I'll see you in Elevate later this month. And so here we go. Let's go. All right. Love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear five keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.